know what it's like when you're kind of think you've got everything organised and then all of a sudden you think, oh no, I forgot to do that. Sam, can you put the last slide up first and then I'll also use it at the end? Because we're going to continue with our series through the song, And Can It Be? And we've got to verse 3 and I thought, we're not going to sing it tonight. We're going to just work our way through it. And then I suddenly realised that, of course, I hadn't actually put what the verse was. So whenever you're ready, Sam, if you can just put up, hopefully the last slide is the summary of the verse. Or I've completely forgotten what I've done on the PowerPoint. Oh, it's all gone quiet. Oh, no, here we go. He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. 'Tis mercy all immense and free, for oh my God, it found out me. Thank you, Sam. That's the verse that we're going to be looking at this evening of And Can It Be? Now, if I asked you to tell me somewhere that you've been at some point or another that has been so amazing, so wonderful, so somewhere that you just never wanted to leave, I wonder what answers you would come up with. I wonder if you talk about, we've talked about mountains a few weeks ago, didn't we? A mountaintop experience that you've had, or you've been to a palace and you just were overwhelmed by the sumptuousness of the palace, or the Hall of Mirrors in the Palace of Versailles. Or maybe you're the kind of person who stands in front of a piece of artwork and you just marvel at it and you're lost in a picture, perhaps. Or maybe you've cruised up the Norwegian fjords, or you've been on a safari in Africa and you've just been blown away by seeing the animals in their natural setting. And in all of those things, or the places that you may think of, or those moments when you thought, I really don't want to leave this moment. This is such a special moment. I want you to just imagine that for just a moment. And yet, it doesn't come close to what it was when we read in that first verse, of that first line of the verse, he left his Father's throne above. It doesn't come close. However spectacular, however amazing, however wonderful or creation was there before you was, it wouldn't have come close to what it meant for Jesus as God's Son to leave his Father's throne and to come down to this messy, cruel, dirty, horrible world. The light coming from heaven down into the darkness. What a contrast. The Son leaving his Father's side. And we know it was a dirty and cruel and savage world which he came into because we read that in the Nativity stories, in the beginning of Matthew's Gospel and Luke's, where we see that children were killed as a result of Jesus being born in that stable all those years ago. We know that Jesus and Mary and Joseph had to flee in fear of their lives because Herod was determined to annihilate Jesus. However magnificent we may have thought, and we can't comprehend what heaven's like, what being in God's presence is like, but I bet it's amazing. And yet, Jesus left his Father's throne to come down to earth. John 6, verse 38 tells us, "For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him who sent me." We're entering that series where that time of year where we're going to be running up to Christmas, and again and again and again there's going to be nativity scenes reenacted, not just here in church but in schools and across our world. And some of them will be sanitized and some of them will kind of maybe in a real life stable. All of them picking up that reminder, I came from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. I wonder, Did Jesus as the son argue with his father? I really don't want to do this, Dad. We don't know, do we? But we know that he came. He came and left his father's presence, his father's throne, to come down to earth. He came as a baby, amidst the squalor and as a vulnerable tiny baby, because of God's love for us. He left his father's throne above. And this verse goes on to say, so free, so infinite his grace. Infinite, endless, unceasing, never ending, going on and on and on. And that word coupled with it in the verse, so free, so infinite his grace, except it wasn't free, was it? Because it cost Jesus his life. The words during communion that was played over during communion being served, what kind of love is this? It's a love we can't comprehend. It's beyond our understanding. God's grace is so infinite. His love for us is so magnificent. That love is the love that cost Jesus his life. It cost him separation from heaven. As that verse on screen reminds us, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. What a sacrifice Jesus made for us. Encapsulated in that line of the verse of "And can it be?" So free, so infinite his grace. Do you feel rich tonight? Do you feel blessed by God because of all that he's given us, because of his mercy and his love? That infinite grace that we're reminded of in the words of that hymn. Are you heavy laden, troubled, beset by worry, struggling, trying to make sense of everything? It's so hard, isn't it, sometimes, to remember the infinite grace that God has for each one of us. I was sent this cartoon several months ago, and I thought I'd share it with you. It says, hello, this is God. I will be handling all of your problems and concerns today. That's my job. Your job is to give them to me, and then to trust me. Have a great day. And it goes on. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Just leave that up on the screen for a moment. You know, whatever we are facing, whatever we are walking through, the pain that we may be experiencing, God is saying, my grace is so big. My love for you is so big. Give it to me and leave it with me to deal with. Don't give it to me and then take it back and try and sort it out on your own. My grace is so big. I want to take control. I want to sort it out. I want you to trust me with it. That's why he left his father's throne. Because God's love for us is so big, so infinite. All we need to do is to trust God with what we are walking through, facing, traveling, struggling with, and not taking it back from him. Thank you. And the verse of the song goes on. He emptied himself of all but love. I'm sure I'm not the only person that finds it much easier to give a present or to give a word of encouragement or to just say something that will bless somebody else than it is to receive it for myself. We're so good, many of us, at giving, 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 and so bad at receiving, aren't we? And yet, This verse in the song reminds us that Jesus emptied himself of all but love. We live in a society that needs God's love. If we watch our televisions or we read our papers or we're on social media, we will know that again and again and again, people are about me, 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 me. I want. This is about what I want. I don't care who I'm going to trample over. I want to get to wherever I want to get to. And yet that's not what God's message is about. God's message is about love. The love he has for us, for this dark world, for his creation. Love is the gift that keeps on giving. You know that as a saying, don't we? And as I thought about that, I was reminded of that friendship cake. You remember those friendship cakes that you kind of have and you split and then you give one to somebody else, your friend, because you're giving this friendship cake around. And eventually you run out of friends because they don't want any more of this friendship cake because they've got it coming at them every angle. In fact, you know full well they're in when you turn up at their door with this gooey mess. But they're not answering the door because they really don't want any more of that friendship cake. Do you know, God's love's not like that. God's love is something to be treasured and be blessed by, to be enriched by. God's love is a love that means that we can come to him, receive his forgiveness no matter what we've done, because he left his Father's throne. So free, so infinite was his grace that he emptied himself of all but love. If all of us lived our lives where we allow God's love to pour out of us, and if we replicated that across our world with Christians everywhere, boy, wouldn't we be living in a loving world. Sadly, we're human. And this verse in itself is a moment when in history there were arguments over what it actually meant. How can Jesus as God's son come to earth and empty himself of all but love? How can he possibly be fully God and fully man? It doesn't make sense. There were arguments and debates and theological discussions, for want of a better description, that they were just arguing all the time. Well, how could that happen? What does it mean? In the Greek, I'm going to say, Philippians 2:7 says, but Jesus made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself. And he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And in the Greek, that sense of emptying himself was argued over between the Greek word homoousios and the Greek word homoiousios. An iota of difference between the two words. Homoousios, meaning the same as God, fully God and fully man. Homoiousios, he couldn't be quite the same. He was similar to God, but he wasn't quite the same as God. You wouldn't believe that the difference between an iota was so big. But it was. For years they argued about it. If you want to look it up, just look it up onto the wonderful internet there is, and it'll talk about the matter that was settled by Emperor Constantine in 325 AD at the Council of Nicaea. God is love. We can't understand how he could have been fully God and fully man, but that's what it tells us. And we have to trust that that is what it means. And sometimes in the midst of all that we do, we try and, with our own human brains, try and understand things. But the scriptures tell us, this verse in the song tells us, Philippians 2:7 tells us, God emptied himself and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. But he also was fully God. A wonderful thing that we can't begin to comprehend, but to which we have to trust is what it means. He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love and bled for Adam's helpless race. And no more can we see that portrayed except here at this table of communion? The meal by which we remember the sacrifice of Jesus' death on the cross. The body broken, the blood poured out. In just those six words of the verse, "and bled for Adam's helpless race," we see the cost of the crucifixion. If we span all the way back to the beginning of our Bibles and we look at Genesis, we will know that Adam's sin of taking that fruit meant the separation from God as a result. But through Jesus' death, we once again have that relationship restored. Last week it was about the mystery. It is mystery all. And it is a mystery, isn't it? So much about God is a mystery. It's where our faith and our trust comes in. But the promise, the consequences of Jesus' death on the cross meant that we all have the gift and the hope of eternal life. Romans 5, chapter 12. "Therefore, as through one man, Adam's sin entered into the world, and death through sin, so death passed unto all men, for all sinned." And then it goes on in Revelation chapter 5 that Jesus was the sacrifice that reversed that death. "And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the book and to open the seals, for you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons of every tribe and tongue and people and nation.'" One death. The love and the grace and the mercy of God meant all of us are once again back and have the opportunity to be back in a relationship with God if we declare him as Lord of our life. Galatians 2 verse 20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Jesus gave himself for us. Echoes of the words of the songs we've been singing. What we need to do is to live a life where God is in control, where we are able to allow God more into our life rather than less. And the song goes on. The verse goes on, "'Tis mercy all, immense and free." God's grace, God's love, and now God's mercy. I saw it sneak up on the screen. I had to ask you for a verse from Scripture about God's mercy. Would you have come up with this passage or this verse, these couple of verses from Lamentations 3? "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning." When Jeremiah wrote the book of Lamentations, he wrote it weeping over Jerusalem, over the people of God, knowing of the destruction and the pain and the heartache that was to come. He wept, he lamented, he warned. And yet in the midst of his book of Lamentations, he has a reminder that God's mercy is immense. It is free. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God's mercy is free. It's free because of the cost of the sacrifice of Jesus' death. And yet so often we struggle to kind of comprehend that because we try and make it human, don't we? We try and kind of put it in our box. Psalm 145 verse 9 says, "God is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made." God is merciful. His mercy is free. It's plentiful. I love this section from Romans 11 in the Message. It says, "Have you ever come on anything quite like the extravagant generosity of God? The deep, deep wisdom. It's way over our heads and we'll never figure it out. Is there anyone around who can explain God? Anyone smart enough to tell him what to do? Anyone who's done him such a huge favour that God has to ask his advice. Everything comes from him. Everything happens to him. Everything ends up in him. Always glory, always praise. Yes, yes, yes. That's who we need to be worshipping. The God to whom we give our glory and our praise because of the love and the mercy and the grace that he gives to us. Can we trust him? Do we trust him? Because of what he's done for us? Because the last part of And Can It Be, verse 3, says, "For oh my God, it found out me." I bet that's what Saul thought on the road to Damascus when he was brought down by Jesus. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Saul knew he'd been found out. He had a direct encounter with God. For Ananias, poor old Ananias, who was told by God to go and pray for Saul, who'd been laying in the room, blinded by that encounter, saying to God, "You really think this is a good idea?" "Lord," Ananias said, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he's come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." You can really see him saying to God, "What are you doing, God? Why do you want to help this man?" But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel." Do you know what happens next in the passage? Ananias goes to Saul and he calls him brother. He's questioned God, he's wondered what God is doing, but he's heard what God has said. He's trusted God and he's gone to Saul, "Brother, I have come to lay hands on you." We find it hard sometimes to put our faith into action, to trust God, to believe in the love and the mercy and the grace of God when we are dealing with the things that we deal with day by day, when we allow our humanity, when we allow our messiness, when we allow other people's messiness to impinge on our lives. Again and again, over the years, after I found this particular passage in one of Corrie ten Boom's books, I've been reminded of how hard it is to cope with forgiveness. Corrie ten Boom came face to face with a guard who was asking her forgiveness for the way he treated those in the concentration camp where she and her beloved sister were caught, where her beloved sister Betsy was killed. And if you've read this passage and you know this passage, I'm just going to say, just hear it again, because it's very powerful. And she writes, "And that's when I saw him, working his way forward against the others. One moment I saw the overcoat and the brown hat, and the next the blue uniform and a visored cap with its skull and crossbones. And it came back with a rush. The huge room with its harsh overhead lights, the pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the center of the floor, the shame of walking naked past this man. I could see my sister's frail form ahead of me, ribs sharp beneath the parchment skin. Betsy, how thin you were. And there he was in front of me, his hand thrust out, a fine message, Fraulein. How good it is to know that, as you say, all our sins are at the bottom of the sea. And I, who had spoken so glibly of forgiveness, fumbled in my pocketbook rather than take that hand. He wouldn't remember me, of course," said Corrie. "How could he remember one prisoner among the thousands of women? But I remembered him. And the leather crop that swung from his belt, and it was the first time since my release that I had been face to face with one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze. You mentioned Ravensbrook in your talk," he was saying. "I was a guard there." No, he did not remember me. "But since that time," he went on, "I've become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there. But I'd like to hear it from your lips as well, Fraulein. And again, the hand came out. Will you forgive me? And I stood there. I, whose sins had every day to be forgiven and could not. Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death just by asking? It couldn't have been many seconds that he stood there with his hand held out, but to me it seemed like hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I ever had to do. For I knew I had to do it. The message that God forgives has a prior condition that we forgive those who have injured us. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, Jesus says, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. And still I stood there, with the coldness clutching in my heart. Forgiveness is not an emotion, I knew that. Forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, help me, I prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling. And so, woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one that was stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder and raced down my arm and sprang into our joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I said, with all of my heart. I find that so powerful when I read it again and again, as I have done over the years. Sometimes we struggle to let God in. Sometimes we don't want God to know all that's going on in our lives, and we keep it hidden. Except we don't, because God knows about it anyway. For, oh my God, it found out me. God knows our strengths and our weaknesses. It's how we respond to God that makes the difference. And so we come back to that verse of And Can It Be? He left his Father's throne above. So free, so infinite is grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. 'Tis mercy all, immense and free, for, oh my God, it found out me. Which of those lines has spoken to you most tonight? Is it about the love and the grace and the mercy of God? Is it as we've taken the communion, I'm being reminded of the cost of the sacrifice? Is it the realization that we can't hide from God? All of us are known by God intimately. Is it the reminder of how important we are to God? So important he sent his son to this earth. So that in our weakness, we can be strong in him. If we're willing to let him in and take control. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, as we are reminded of your love and your mercy and your forgiveness, your grace and the willingness of your son to leave his father's throne and come down to this messy, cruel world, help us to think about our response. To think about how much we're willing to let you into our lives, how much of our lives we're willing to trust you with, how much we are willing to allow you to take control rather than us being the ones who have control over our own lives. Father God, as we come to our last song, where we're reminded that you have set us free, that we were once lost, but we have now been found. Help us, Lord, to continue to walk in your paths and know that you love us and that we give ourselves to you. Amen.